Okay, we can turn to our Bibles. Page 375. And while you have your Bibles, if you want to tag another page for later on, we'll eventually be going to 939 in 2 Corinthians. But we're going to start here in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11 through 20. So I came to Jerusalem and was there for 3 days. Then I got up during the night, and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. The only animal I took was the animal I rode. I went out by night to the valley gate, past the dragon spring and to the dung gate. And I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that had been broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the animal I was riding to continue. So I went up by way of the valley by night and inspected the wall. Then I turned back and entered the valley gate and so returned. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest that were to do the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, so that we may no longer suffer disgrace." I told them that the hand of my God had been gracious upon me, and also the words that the king had spoken to me. Then they said, "Let us start building." So they committed themselves to the common good. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they mocked and ridiculed us, saying, "What is this you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" Then I replied to them, "The God of heaven is the one who will give us success, and we, his servants, are going to start building. But you have no share or claim or historic right in Jerusalem." Thanks be to God. So there are times on Sunday morning, or, you know, pick any day of the week, I guess, but particularly Sunday morning, when you might hear the sprinkle of raindrops on your roof and your pillow and bed feel just right. And instead of pulling off the covers and starting your Sunday morning and your Sunday morning routine and getting ready for church, you roll over and decide to worship at the Church of the Holy Comforter. I've definitely been there. And maybe you have been there too. And for those of you that have small children or have had small children at one time, the preparation for Sunday morning can be sometimes a frenzy. And maybe rolling over in bed was the better option. But obviously today you all are here. You persevered and you made it to church, and I thank you for that. And now we are able to pray, reflect, and study in this house of worship. Sometimes we find that comfort level that we're happy with, and it brings joy. And other times, life happens. Life gets in the way. And we are required to take steps that allow discomfort to enter our lives. But today I want to relate to you that we individually or collectively, we can accomplish great things. And we can, knowing that God is behind us the entire way. So a little bit of insight of who I am, what I do for a living. I'm currently the manager of the Erie County Conservation District. And you might ask yourself, well, what is a conservation district? Well, Erie County is one of 66 conservation districts in the state of Pennsylvania, and they exist throughout our country, throughout all the states. And conservation districts are county government organizations whose focus is to improve the quality of our soils and our water locally, our water resources mainly. And this is done by educating the public and then also implementing what we call best management practices on the ground through construction projects or things like that, ultimately to reduce the amount of pollutants that enter our waterways. The pollutants like nitrogen and phosphorus, they create an imbalance in our ecosystems of our streams and lakes. And it's our job, my job, to find ways to improve that imbalance. But for Pennsylvania counties down in the, what we call the Chesapeake Bay watershed, so Lancaster, York, Adams County, you may have visited those places. Federal reduction goals were set to reduce the pollution rates into the Chesapeake Bay by the year 2025. And although we are ahead of the pace, or they are ahead of the pace of some of these environmental goals, other reduction goals may ultimately be out of reach. It is an uphill battle. But it's the hard work of those conservation districts down there and other agencies that keep things going in the right direction. And that's encouraging. Federal mandated goals have not yet been set for Lake Erie, but they are on the horizon, and that's something that myself and our groups need to keep in mind moving forward. We are trying to stay ahead of the game, so to speak. But in the 7 years that I've been associated with the Conservation District, I've come to realize that results do not come overnight. They just don't happen right away. And in some cases, it may take generations for a problem to be corrected. We think about acid mine drainage down south of here and the problems that makes. But as long as we continue the hard work, solutions can happen. So a similar situation on a different scale may apply here in your life, your workplace, or the industry that you are involved in. So a mandate of responsibility comes upon you. It interjects major discomfort in your life. And it may seem that the weight of the world is now on your shoulders. What do you do? So you have to take that first step. You have to take that first step towards that responsibility that's been granted to you. And we can now take a look at God's faithful servant Nehemiah. He knew that Jerusalem was in shambles and the city wall was destroyed by fire. His people who survived the exile were in great trouble. And Nehemiah took on God's call and decided to rebuild the wall and enhance the livelihood of his people. He took the first step. He took the first step of actually going there, going to Jerusalem and assessing the situation. I picture Nehemiah as part civil engineer, part project manager and part community organizer, all rolled into one. This project was not without conflict and opposition. Further ahead in the chapters of Nehemiah, it speaks of the enemies of Israel trying to defeat any progress on the wall through contempt, words, and even force. So much so that Nehemiah had to assemble volunteers as a small defense army to thwart any future attack. Nehemiah sets out to do what he said he would do. He recruits help and laborers and rebuilds the wall stone by stone and timber by timber, all with the confidence of knowing that God was behind him and his people, 100%. He could not have rolled in Jerusalem and did what he did without God's grace and having God in his heart. Nehemiah was confident. He was comfortable in his own shoes and in his actions, and definitely the right person for the job. He got the job done with God's help. To accomplish this great task, he took the first step. He traveled to Jerusalem and started planning. Then he stayed the course and repeated the action. Bricks and stone were laid course by course. The wall did not get built in one day. It took time. It took resources and coordination over and over, and eventually completed the task. Lastly, he remained confident in God's love and support, which really is the most important point of all. Teddy Roosevelt said, "Nothing in the world is worth having or worth doing unless it means effort, pain, difficulty." Now, this applies to many things in our human existence when looking through a certain lens, of course. However, it does not apply to God's grace. By knowing that God's grace does not require effort, pain, or difficulty, we are possibly better equipped as God's people to handle situations that cause effort, pain, or difficulty. I'd like to turn to Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, and that's on page 939 in the Pew Bible. It's chapter 4, verse 7 through 16. "But we have in this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible to our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And so, I guess we have to ask ourselves some hard questions. What is our own personal wall of Jerusalem? Are we dealing with fractured relationships, general sadness and loss, physical pain, or is simply the weight of the world on our shoulders? Maybe we are apprehensive when it comes to service projects or volunteer opportunities, possibly because we've never done it before. And taking that first step of involvement can be scary. Selling cherry pies at the cherry festival can be intimidating for sure. Working with the public is unscripted. You never know who is going to come up to that tent, and you never know what's going to come out of their mouth. And so that creation of that response to that person representing this place, it can be demanding. And I understand that. I've been there. But sometimes you just have to smile and say, "We're sold out. Sorry." But when we face challenges like Nehemiah did, how do we overcome that discomfort and break down those barriers in our lives to eventually find that joy and celebration? And the answer does lie in Scripture here. We are jars of clay. We are durable, yet fragile at the same time. And going back to verse 14, we know this because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. When we look back on something that caused built up anxiety or stress and discomfort, and we look back and say, "You know, that wasn't so bad," or, "You know, I'm glad I did that," after it's all said and done, it's a testament to God's presence in our lives. And generally, when we take on maybe a construction project at home or at work, usually the condition of our surroundings gets a lot worse before it gets better. And along the way, we have an occasional uncomfortable experience, but eventually, over time, and I guess if you have someone like Nehemiah in charge, it becomes a functional, beautiful project. And to get the full life out of that completed project, and even referring back now to our own personal wall of Jerusalem, they require maintenance. The maintenance of our hearts requires us to seek that confidence and comfort, knowing that God's grace is always there for us. Let us employ Nehemiah's example and approach of taking the first step, repeating that action again and again, and do it all in the comfort of God's grace, successfully applying it to all aspects of our lives. Amen.